This podcast is from Allegro Non Troppo on Joy Melbourne 94.9 radio station, Melbourne, Australia, and is produced for you by Adam, Peter and Robert. This is Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network via satellite on your local community radio station in Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and in many other stations across Australia. Particularly, Peter, I have to say a hello to our people listening in Western Queensland, in the Northern Territory and in Western Australia.
Yes, welcome to Allegro Non Troppo.
And Western Victoria.
Mustn't forget Western Victoria. The most important thing a society, culture and community can do is invest in the future, so we would think. Every generation seems to think that the young people coming into the world have got it easy.
Looking at how our grandparents lived gives us a clear indication of where we have been and where we are going. Each ageing generation thinks that the emerging generations have got it good, and that they are being handed everything on a plate, which they ungratefully take for granted.
Do we take what we have for granted? Yes, we do. So why shouldn't every new generation have the same outlook?
Now, how do we take it for granted? Okay, how many TVs do you have in your home? How many cars have you got? How many computers? How many telephones? How many times a year do you fly interstate or overseas? Now, compare that to your grandparents.
Older homosexuals had it tough, or so we thought, and the new generations are growing up in a wonderfully accepting and tolerant society and world.
No, in Iran, it's been wildly reported that teenage homosexuals have been executed recently.
What do the generations X and Y think, and what do older gays and lesbians think about them?
To find out on Allegro today, we have Sangeeta and Peter representing the older homosexuals and Virginia and Petro representing the younger generations. And we'll look at these issues today. I'm going to be the facilitator. I'm Adam. I'm afraid I'm too young to be in the older generation, and I'm just slightly too old to be in the older generation. So I'm smack in the middle at 28. Welcome, Sangeeta and Petro.
Thank you, Adam.
How's it going, Adam?
Now, Sangeeta, can you give us an indication about how old you are?
Over 55.
Okay. Peter, you're over 65.
I am somewhere between 65 and death.
And Petro, you're 19.
I'm 21 years old.
Oh, you're 21?
Yeah.
Well,
see,
there we
everybody's
go.
Older than you think.
So one of the things I wanted to look at in particular is what do people think about the times that they're growing up in? Sangeeta, when you first came out, what was it like? How old were you when you came out, when you realised that you were homosexual?
In my 20s, I'd say.
Yep.
And I actually didn't say anything to anyone because I grew up in country WA and all my friends were straight, and it was like I sort of didn't quite know what to do. I didn't feel there. I didn't know of who to go and talk to. Or
okay,
anything.
This was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the feeling about being homosexual? Were you afraid?
I think there was an element of fear there,
Was it fear of being discovered by the people around you as being lesbian?
I would say so.
Yeah. I thought it might be.
And their reaction.
Peter, let's ask you the same question. When you were coming out, that would have been, what, 40 years ago?
Just about, almost. Okay. Yes.
Was it the same for you? Did you have a fear of being discovered as being homosexual?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. I mean, in those days, you could lose your job if people knew. You could lose your friends if people knew.
What did you think might happen to you, your life, when you discovered you were homosexual?
I thought, before I actually came out, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, it was just so socially unacceptable that I actually wouldn't even accept it myself.
Sangeeta, what about you?
I think very similar, because I thought my friends would reject me and my family. I actually have a half-sister who's a lot older than me, and my mother didn't want me to have any contact with her. Always spoke down about her, and when I was sort of late teens, I think I found out that she was lesbian, and that I think helped was the fear aspect, that it was something really not good.
Petro, you're 21. Petro, are you a homosexual?
Yes, I am.
You are. Isn't that a difficult word to say?
It is, and it's only something that I could say to myself within the past 7 months. Right up to the point that I came out to my mother was the point that I could say it to myself.
I make a point in all of my professional engagements when I'm working with young gay and lesbian people to get them to say, I am a homosexual. Because if they take that word and they use it, it no longer becomes something that people can use to put them down.
Yep.
So, and I ask the girls to say, I am a lesbian, I'm a gay man, I'm a homosexual. Don't let other people have power over you using that. How long ago did you come out?
Well, it was kind of step-by-step process. The first person I formally said I am gay to was my mother, and that was around this time last year.
Didn't you say it to yourself first?
No, I didn't really, actually. I was going through a period of my life where I didn't have any romantic feelings for anybody, and that was a very rare moment, because up until that point, I'd either had romantic feelings for guys or girls, but my sexual attraction to guys far outweighed anything that I had for women by that stage of my life. So I didn't have any romantic feelings for anyone. It was just the attraction to guys that was kind of dominating my what was going on in me. I think that's when I realized at that point that, you know, the dreams of, you know, one day getting married and having children and that kind of thing in that very kind of, you know, heterosexual lifestyle, that wasn't my fate. That wasn't going to happen, you know. So, yeah, when I came out to my mother, I kind of came out to myself as well. It was kind of happened at the same time.
All at the same time.
Petro, just curious to know if things have changed over the years. Now, you heard Sangeeta and me talking about what it was like for us and our fears. Was it any different for you?
Not really. I had exactly the same fears. You know, growing up, I started having attractions to males when I hit puberty. And it was around 2002 when I was in year 9 that it took off, because that was the first year that I actually fell for a guy. And I was scared absolutely shitless. You know, it was a very scary feeling.
What were you scared about?
How people would react.
So you were scared that people would find out you were gay?
Yeah.
So things haven't changed. Between Sangeeta and Peter, when they came out 30 and 40 years ago, they were scared that people were going to find out they were gay. But the consequence of people finding out, Sangeeta and Peter are in a situation where you possibly could have been in a fairly serious situation of personal danger, right? Did you feel that you would be in a situation of personal danger?
Not physical danger, no.
So there has been an evolution of attitudes towards homosexuality in the wider community over that. That's one of the things that does clearly articulate the generation gap between gay people of 40 years ago and young gay people today.
So nowadays we think, or as older people, that it's easier for people who are young like yourself to be gay and to come out because things are more accepting, people are more tolerant. But from what you're saying, it really hasn't changed that much.
It's an interesting process, the coming out, and it's very, very unique to the gay and lesbian culture. I don't think there's any other culture where people have to come out. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo with Adam and Peter across Australia and the Community Radio Network. Our special guests today are Virginia Sangeeta and Petro, and Peter, my co-host, is one of the people we're interviewing looking at the gay generation gap. Virginia, we were just discussing the issue of coming out and how difficult it was 40 years ago and how difficult it is now. 40 years ago, we were all concerned in our coming out process that if people discovered we were gay, it could have a violent outcome. Petro's just told us that he didn't think it would be a violent outcome. What about you?
Personally, I haven't had any violent reactions or violent. I did, at a stage in my early teens, feel a feeling of anxiety because I attended a Catholic girls' school. I was very, it promoted an atmosphere of I remember the mission statement, a Christ-centered environment which promoted respect for everyone and gave them dignity. But at the same time, it seemed the school, they enforced so much Christian values on us that any sort of feelings of expression just seemed to be wrong, whether they be homosexual or anything in general. But I remember thinking when I developed a crush on one of my teachers, I told one of the girls and I got such a a disgusted reaction out of it that, you know, I started feeling anxiety about who I was and I just kept blocking it out. But violence wasn't something that came across my mind, but a feeling of being judged and a feeling of being, oh, you know, you're not normal.
Across all of the generations for homosexuals, that being judged by people around us, being isolated and ostracized, still exists. Let me tell you, having a crush on a teacher as a teacher, when that happens, it is one of the scariest things.
For yourself or for the student?
No, for the teacher.
Wow.
When you know somebody's got a crush. It's happened to me quite a few times in my life, and I am terrified when it happens. I'll completely cut those kids off. I have to. What's the alternative?
That's true. Do you reckon people, sometimes teachers, you have emotions, obviously, because you're human. Is it hard to sort of do it?
Especially when kids come up to me and say, Mr. Stobbs, I want to talk to you about something. They say, yeah, and say, I think I might be gay. I don't want to know. You go and see the school principal. I'll tell you where to go. I can't help you. Sorry. Goodbye. I absolutely cannot get involved on any level with that sort of conversation.
You don't feel that this perhaps you could in some way not be quite so brutal about it? I mean, it must be pretty... That kid probably took a lot of courage to talk to you about it. And just to cut them off.
From my personal experiences and the people around me, for my own safety and their safety, that's possibly the best option at times. Depends how they come across with it, but just from my experiences, I tend to brush those kids off and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's because I can't handle it myself. For their, I can handle it for myself, no problem for me. But for them, I'm not in a position to be able to help. We're talking to Sangeeta, Petro, Virginia and Peter today about the gay generation gap. The other thing I wanted to talk about is I want to ask you a question about each other. Okay? We'll start with Sangeeta and Peter. What do you think of the younger generation of homosexuals? And Virginia, you are a lesbian, aren't you?
Yes.
Say, I am a lesbian.
I am a lesbian.
Okay. That's something I want everybody to... Don't be afraid to say you are gay in situations like that. Being afraid to say homosexual, lesbian or gay, get over that. You'll know when not to say it, but saying it to yourself is the most important thing. It's part of self-acceptance. Sangeeta, what do you think of the younger generation? I'll tell you my impression later, but what do you think about the younger generation? Because you've been around for a long time. You've been a lesbian for what, 30 years? And you would have seen a lot of young lesbians and gay people growing up and everything.
Well, I haven't actually, because a big gap of my life was sort of separated from the mainstream. And it's only since actually I've been living in Melbourne that I've had so much contact with the gay community.
You've had some contact over the last few years that I've known you, so you would have seen quite a few. What do you think about them? What are they like?
I think they're fine.
Do they take things for granted? Are they self-obsessed? Are they immersed in pop culture?
No more than we were at that age.
Shut up and let me finish?
I'll try and stop you.
Actually, I don't think so.
Wrapped up in trivia? Only interested in stuff as it comes up on The Simpsons?
Well, how about not putting words in her mouth and letting her say it in her own
way? I'm just giving her some options.
The people I have met, say the younger generation, I have mostly, I find, are just really nice people.
How do they treat you?
I've got grey hair, and often I think that's what people first see. But generally, just as a person.
Do you feel a bit distant from them? Do you know many of them?
No, I don't know many of them. Just a few that maybe I see on a regular
basis
and say hello. And I've always found people, they're really friendly.
Friendly, okay. Yeah. Peter, what about you? What do you think of the younger generation of gay and lesbian people
On the vast majority of the ones I've met, are just absolutely fantastic. They're very accepting and tolerant. I don't think, as I was saying, I don't think they're any more self-indulgent than we were at that age. And it's just a natural part of growing up, I think.
We should qualify this that you don't go out on the scene, and the only place that you meet young people is here at this radio station, and you don't meet many of those anyway.
You don't know. You have no idea of my movements during the week, so don't preempt.
But am I right? That.
Not necessarily.
Okay. So the young people, do they keep you at a distance?
I don't think so, not okay. that I'm aware of. If they do, they're very subtle about it.
Do you think the young people today are aware of the issues that affect society in general? How aware of what's going on around them are they?
Well, I'm sure they watch the news and all that kind of thing, but whether they accept or appreciate the situation of being gay when they get older, probably not, but then why should they?
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's when you're young, you want to be enjoying life and having fun without worrying too
All
much.
All right. Peter and Sangeeta, what were you like when you were young?
I was really shy.
Yeah?
And, yeah, and still am to a degree. And
you are. You're quite a shy person.
Yeah,
it's taken me a long time to get to know you.
Yeah, I am. And I think I was like that and quite withdrawn.
Peter, what were you like as a young person?
I was painfully shy. Absolutely painfully shy.
Okay.
It was terrible. I really went through quite a depression at an early age.
Why? Because you were shy?
Because I found it hard to communicate with other people, and I didn't think anybody was interested in me. I didn't want to know me.
Did you have low self-esteem?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was
that low self-esteem anything to do with being homosexual?
No.
No, it wasn't for me either.
Okay. Petro and Virginia, I'm going to ask you almost exactly the same questions, but in reverse. Have you met many older gay and lesbian people?
Since being at Joy, yes.
But outside of Joy, have you met any?
No. I guess prior to Joy, well, I pretty much started Joy the moment I came out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good experience. Prior to Joy, the only gay people I knew were, you know, gay friends of mine who were generally my age.
Virginia, what about you? Did you know many older gay and lesbian people?
I did. People I've met at Joy I found to be very different from the older lesbian people primarily that I've met out on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the older generation I've met at Joy have been lovely and accepting and warm and very, I guess, genuine. But some of the lesbians I've met out on the scene in the older demographic, I haven't found to be like the people I've met at Joy.
For the listener, Joy is radio station 3JOY, which is Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station located in Melbourne. So when you hear us talking about people I've met at Joy, it's not a nightclub. It's a community radio station. Petro, have you met any older gay men out on the scene? You go out on clubs, I'm gathering. You've got that club boy look about you.
A lot of people say that, but I'm actually not a really
okay.
club goer.
Okay.
It's not really my thing, but probably in the theatre world is where I've met most
okay.
Older gay people, because I used to take part in a theatre quite a bit in the amateur theatre world. So that's probably where I met most older gay men. Joy's definitely the place where I've met most, and yeah, I have nothing but utmost respect for the older generation.
Why?
Because, as we've been talking about, it was a lot harder back then. There's still the same fear when you realise you're gay and wanting to come out. But, you know, society, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago was so different, and okay. acceptance wasn't great. So to come out back then was just such a huge step, and that's what I admire so much.
Virginia, what do you think of older people?
I agree with Petra. I do have a lot of respect for them, because I continually hear stories about women especially saying that back when they were coming out or in their younger days that they couldn't go to a club. They would be refused entry because of their sexuality, and how far we've come in Australia. I mean, it's still a progression to get to, I think, where we want to. But, I mean, I feel so lucky to have had, you know, to not have had as much, I guess, judgment placed on me as the older generation has. I mean, okay. it's really difficult to go through.
How do you feel you fit into the gay and lesbian culture and community now?
For me, it's been an amazing experience, especially over the past 4 years, how I've sort of grown in that self-love, I'd have to say. And I think the way I fit in now is I just see my sexuality as a part of me. It doesn't encompass all who I am. And I think for sexuality in general, whether you're gay, straight, bi, whatever, it's just a part of who you are. It shouldn't be all who you are,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. And yeah. I think a lot of people nowadays, when you hear the word gay, lesbian, bisexual, they just put you into that box and they think that's all you are, but I'm just like any other person. I have a job. I pay okay. my taxes. I have a life. I have friends. The yeah. only difference is I'm attracted to the same sex.
Right. Petra, what about you? How do you find it?
The interesting thing I've found now is I've befriended someone who's struggling with their sexuality a lot, and it's so interesting to be on the other side of the fence now. You know, because I look at him and I think to myself, my God, you know, 1-2 years ago, I was in that exact same position. Now, I'm in a position where I can help him come to terms with that.
Is this a younger person?
No, he's a couple of years older than I am.
Oh, a younger person then.
Oh, well, sorry, yeah. He is a younger person. Sorry, in terms of generations. Right. But he's a couple of years older than what I am. But to be able to, you know, help other people go through what I went through, I think is something that I find really... It's a bit of a privilege. Yeah.
Do you, Virginia and Petro, do you find that the older gay people seem to whinge about we had it so good and you so bad and you've got it so good?
No, not personally. I haven't had that directly told to me, but some of the people I have met, especially on the scene, the older lesbians, they do seem to come across, and this is the people I've met. I'm not speaking for all older lesbians or in the older generation. I'm just saying that some of them seem a lot more burdened, as in they didn't have the acceptance that we have now, and they haven't imposed any sort of, oh, you're so lucky to have that because we didn't, but I have gained a sense of burden from them.
That was an absolutely brilliant answer. Thank you.
No worries.
What about you, Petro? Have you found any of the older people sort of, they say, we had it so bad and you've got it so good and you're being handed everything on a plate?
I personally haven't experienced any of that attitude, but, you know, I think... That's a broad kind of, you know, feeling, you know, amongst generations. It's not something that you can just pinpoint on the gay and lesbian community. Right. Yeah.
It is. It's across all sections of our culture and communities. We always think that the young people have got it so much better. We had it tough. Don't let that take away from the very important issue that gay and lesbian young people who are growing up and coming out now face a completely different set of issues, just as serious in the way they're going to be realised across our culture. Peter, I thought we might listen to some Vox Pops that I did a couple of years ago. I went out to a gay and lesbian festival and I asked a cross-section of the community what they thought about the opposite generations. Now, I did this in 2003.
The opposite generation?
The older generation, what they thought of the younger generation, etc. It's interesting to listen to the answers. What do older and younger gay men think of each other? We went out into the crowds at Midsummer Carnival in Melbourne to find out. And it's not what you might think. Can you give me one word to describe how you see the up-and-coming generation of gay men?
Aware.
They're respectful.
Respectful.
Quite respectful.
Freakish. Vain.
Fantastic.
Enthusiastic.
Gorgeous.
What were you like when you were young?
I was very cautious when I was young.
I just lived life as it was. I didn't change whatever I was doing because I was gay. I just kept going. I was very happy growing up.
Honest, happy, very excited about being gay.
I was, but in a phase, which I realised it wasn't a phase when I became old.
Quite shy and reserved and restrained and constrained.
Well, I was radical. I was a left-winger in the 60s, enjoying life and going places quickly.
Painfully shy and retiring until I realised I was gay, but once that happened, I was exactly the opposite.
Not so gorgeous, but shy and introverted.
Oh, a bit like a kid in a candy store.
What's it like to be older and gay?
Better, in fact, and the way I'm accepted.
It's thought of as go away to now, I think, becoming inclusive.
I enjoy being old because I can look back on the things that I used to do and look forward to the things that I can do.
Fantastic. Really enjoy it. Getting better all the time.
Oh, it's great fun.
Comfortable. I'm very free now with my attitudes and in my lifestyle, and freedom would be the thing that I can sum up as the best thing.
Well, it's fantastic. You've got to be positive about it, because the older you get, the more friends you make, the more fun you have.
I think it's peace of mind, feeling comfortable in your lifestyle, accepting things as they really are, and just enjoying life.
Great. Should have done it years ago.
Now we ask the younger community what they think of the older community.
Give me one word to sum up how you feel when you see older gay men.
One word can't really be used to describe. Sort of depends where you see them and in what context and how much clothes they're wearing at the time.
Survivors.
They're pretty inspiring.
Yeah, really indifferent as well.
Queenie.
What do you think of older gay men?
We can learn from their experiences.
30 hot
I think they're sleazy. I can learn from their experiences. So it's like, yeah, I don't know, yeah.
They're just like anybody else, except often with better dress sense.
Yeah, I really don't care.
So what do you think you'll be like when you're 50?
Honey, I will be dead by the time I'm 50. I'm going to die young and very pretty.
I think I'll be dead by 45.
35 is the limit, methinks. Yeah, dead.
Wiser, very bitchier and queenier.
Dead, because I've jumped off a stage by then.
I personally don't think I'll be 50.
You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
We're discussing today the gay generation gap. We're joined in the studio by Sangeeta, Petro and Virginia. And we were listening just before the music track to those Vox Pops that we did in 2003. And I'm just wondering if attitudes have changed. I'm going to ask Virginia and Petro one of the questions I asked there. What do you think you'll be like at 50, Petro?
What do I think I'll be like at 50? That's a... God... I'd like to know what I'd be like at 30. It's a question that I just can't answer, really.
Think about it. What would you like to think you would be like?
I'd like to think that I'm in a stable financial position, that I have a reasonably good job, and that I'm, you know, with a partner, and that I'm, you know, pretty settled down by 50. That's what I'd like to think, yeah.
What about you, Virginia?
I would probably, similar to Petro, I'd like to be in a very comfortable financial position. 50, I'd like to be retired, actually. I want to retire young and make the most of my years ahead. Also, in a stable relationship, I'm not going to say married because I personally don't want to get married, but I do want to be in a married-like relationship, if that makes sense.
I know exactly what you mean. I don't like the idea of marriage either because it has this Christian connotation where a man owns a woman. Sangeeta.
Yes.
You're 50 plus, yeah?
Yep.
Are you anything like what these guys want to be?
Not really. I'm not financially stable. I'm not in a relationship, and I'm looking ahead of working for quite a number of years.
Your situation's a little bit different, though, because you were removed from society for a lot of years because you were in
when everyone else was gathering superannuation and assets, I had given them all up and wasn't accumulating anything like that.
Peter, what about you? You're 67.
I beg you. Don't age me. I'm old enough as it is without you adding
66.
It. 5.
65. Okay. Are you in the place where these guys want to be?
No. Generally speaking, no. I'm still working. I am working because I have to. I don't have enough superannuation to retire. I'm in a wonderful relationship with a wonderful person.
Sangeeta and Peter, are you happy?
Happiness to me is a very...
Are you generally content with your life?
No.
Okay. What about you, Peter?
I'm pretty content. Yeah, I'm happy.
I think that's the thing to aim for. Happiness doesn't really exist. It's transient. It's content. Like, can I just add on that particular thing? I, when I was coming out, thought, I don't want to be living in the suburbs with a partner, having a mortgage, living the suburban lifestyle. I don't want to be doing this, working some deathly boring academic job, being a music teacher or a school teacher. I've turned into exactly the person I didn't want to be, and I love it.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you can't ask somebody at the age of 19 or 20 where they think they're going to be at 50. I mean, there's just that much time in between. Who knows what's going to happen in the meantime?
I've got a good job. I've got a partner that I've been with for a number of years and will be with for a long time. I'm financially doing okay. I'm managed through my XXXX partner who was really driven to acquire quite a lot of assets. So while I don't have a lot of disposable cash, I've got a lot of assets and that eventually will liquidate. So yeah, I'm in a comfortable situation and I probably don't really have to work, but I choose to do so. But I ended up in exactly the situation I didn't want to be. I just wish I was going to be around Petro and Virginia when you get to 50. Maybe I will be, but I don't know that I'll be in any situation to be able to comprehend what's going on around me to see if you actually get to that spot.
I can tell I can tell these two guys, the younger one, generation, what they probably will be saying when they reach the age of 50 If I had my life over again, I would change so many things. But of course you can't.
It's true. I think it's even more difficult for older gay and lesbian people because we had such a hard time of it. If we were coming out now, knowing what we know now, wouldn't we do things so differently?
Mm.
We certainly would. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network. I just wanted to talk about, in the different generations, the ability to form relationships. Is it different now to the way it has been? Perhaps we'll ask Petro and Virginia your thoughts on relationships. Is it a vitally important part of your life to have a partner?
It is.
And a long-term partner.
It is something that is important to me. I do want to, you know, find someone, and I've actually started seeing somebody, and for the first time, I've never really been in a committed relationship before.
Are you in love?
I wouldn't say I'm in love. That's, you know, I've just met the person, but we started seeing each other, and it's very nice, you know, to find someone that you've got, a mutual feeling for, definitely. But
do you know, I'm a teacher, right, and I frequently catch up with kids I used to teach, and they say, "Mr. Stubbs, I'm getting married." And I say, "Oh, really? Why?" And they say, "Look," and they say, "because I'm in love." I said, "How do you know?" And nobody's ever got an answer for me. That's what I was just going to say. If you say yes in love, I was going to say, "How do you know?" Virginia, relationships.
Relationships. For me, coming out for me was, when I started dating women, I was attracted to a lot of older women. And, I think the first woman I started dating, so to speak, was in her 30s. And for me, I found that I had to grow up quickly to sort of match their, I guess, emotional experiences. Because it was almost like emotionally they'd been through so much and they had so much things they dealt with in their life that I couldn't quite comprehend at my young age of 18. But for me, relationships, I mean, ideally, I'm not in one at the moment. I'm dating and I do... I like to meet new people, but a relationship for me is something I hope to have one day. But in terms of importance, I think for me, I strive for self-happiness or self-being content with my life before I can make someone else happy.
That's quite a brilliant experience, you know, being attracted to older people, having to catch up to them would have given you a wealth of experience that'll really put you in good stead. Sangeeta, what's it been like for you for relationships? Did you have relationships when you first came out?
No, I think because, as I said earlier, the fear thing is, and not knowing any support groups or whatever.
So it was difficult for
you? It was very difficult, yeah. And
to form relationships.
Yes, and all my friends were heterosexual and we used to do a lot of things together and I tried going out with men. And didn't work.
Peter, what about you? Relationships, how important were they to you when you were young and what's it like now?
Oh, well, I mean, it wasn't until I was 27 that I actually came out. I've been met some interesting people. And at one time I had about a relationship every week, but then eventually I settled down a little bit. I've met some interesting people, as I say, some... I don't regret any of them, but I've learnt a lot from them.
Okay, from my experience, when I came out and right up until this moment in my life, I've more or less always had a partner. I've never actually gone out looking for a partner. I just seem to roll from one relationship straight into another one. And I've never ever during my life seemed to have this sense of urgency to have to grab on to the next partner because it's going to be difficult to find another one. As a lot of people from my generation seem to have this opinion, you know, grab relationships when you can, it's really difficult to get. Let me tell you, it's not. It's as difficult as you make it for yourself. To find a partner is the easiest thing in the world. I think one of the secrets is don't look. If you look for one, there's nothing sends off the signal like desperate, desperate, don't come near them. You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo. I wanted to ask another little question here now. It's about education. Sangeeta and Peter, can you give us just a quick indication of what your education was? And then we'll have a look and see how that's changed across the generations.
Are you saying what level or where I went to school or?
Yeah, where did you, what level did you get up to?
I did... all of high school, year 12 or mm-hmm. whatever you call it these days. And then I did nursing.
Okay.
And
did you complete that?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you were
and
a nurse?
A nurse, paediatric speciality, mm-hmm. Casualty.
Okay, Peter, what was your education?
Well, I left school at 15, so I didn't have a brilliant education, mainly because I was too lazy to study. And I basically coasted through life, I've always had a job, luckily.
Okay, I've got a degree and I've got 11 postgrad diplomas, but I didn't start doing those until I was 40.
Mm.
Okay, so I had the opportunity for education, but I never did it. Virginia and Petro, tell us about your education. Petro.
I completed high school in 2005 and have just finished my university arts degree.
Okay, and what are you going to do next?
You've
also got other qualifications, haven't you?
No, I haven't. But I'm thinking of doing further study in radio sound production.
Okay, Virginia?
I completed high school in 2003, and then I went on to do a degree in creative arts, majoring in drama and cinema studies. And then after that, I obtained a Cert 3 in radio broadcasting. And then currently I'm doing a postgrad in commercial radio programming.
Okay. So the opportunities that you guys, the younger generation, have got for education seem to be much more available. The opportunities for education seem to be more available. There's more choice, I would think. And this is from my professional career as a teacher. I would say that the opportunities for education are so much better.
I think in my day, when I went to school, we never had anybody to assess where we should be heading in our careers. We had no structured way of any guidance whatsoever.
No. So there's been certainly a big evolution. So we're having a generation of children, gay children, but children growing up now, who have the opportunity and generally are very highly educated. Now, that's got to be good for society. Perhaps maybe we'll end up with no tradespeople and nobody driving the trams.
Well, that's happened to an extent, hasn't it?
It has indeed. This is Allegro Non Troppo. The other thing I wanted to ask everybody is I want to sort of like do a really big span across generations. Peter and Sangeeta and I, looking back at the lives of your grandparents, what did they have in their house? Can you remember your grandparents?
All mine had died before my parents actually married.
Okay, so,
I never had any.
What about you?
Well, funnily enough, I mean, my grandparents was something that really has burned into my mind for some reason.
What did they have by way of technology or stuff to entertain them? Or
well, they had a radio. They didn't have a television. They had a radio.
Okay.
Technology, they had electricity.
I remember my grandparents. I had a lot of grandparents, actually. They were alive during the wars. My great-grandfather was in the First World War and my grandparents were in the Second World War. And the stories they tell me about the aerial bombardment, especially in England and in Dresden, is just the most alarming thing that's horrifying. But they had to wash clothes. They used to have to boil water. They had to put a fire underneath a copper kettle, a big copper thing, and they'd boil water, and then they'd put the clothes in the boiling water, and they'd get this big stick with a plunger on, and they would wash the clothes, and it would take a whole day to wash the clothes.
I remember my mother being in the kitchen because that's where we had this copper, she called it,
that's right.
Filled with hot water, and I can remember I could hardly see her because of all the steam, and she worked so hard, I didn't realise at the time.
And they cooked on this little gas stove that had two burners.
We had no hot water at home.
No, my grandparents didn't. And they only got running water just after I was born, apparently. Let's jump forward. Okay, and no TVs, nothing like that in those days. Okay, how many TVs, when you were living with your mum and dad, how many TVs did you have in your house?
We only had one, actually.
Oh, what about you, Petro?
We have two, one in the lounge room and a small one in the kitchen.
Washing machine?
We actually didn't get a washing machine till we migrated to Australia, and then we got one, I think, 3 years later.
Okay. So. Washing machine, yeah?
Yeah, we've got one.
Dishwasher?
Our dishwasher hasn't been working for a couple of years now. Okay.
Never had a dishwasher ever.
Can you ever remember using TVs without remote controls?
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember having to poke the thing with a coat hanger.
Okay. What about you, Petro?
Yeah, before we got our brand new TV, we had an ancient box and... We had to full on jab it with a coat hanger or something like that. Yeah.
Do you remember the old rotary channel changes where they got, after a while they got dust in them and you had to jiggle them to get a picture?
Wouldn't know what you were talking about. What about telephones? Did you ever have one where you had to put your finger in and turn the dial?
Yeah, I do remember that our first phone when we migrated to Australia, it was one of them, the dialer phones. I really loved it.
Pulse dialing. Have you ever used one of those, Petra?
Yeah, and you couldn't
walk
around. Yeah, and we couldn't walk around with it because it was stuck to the wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Is anybody in here not have a mobile phone? We all have mobile phones. Mm. Does anybody in here not drive or have a car?
I don't have a car. I can drive.
You can drive.
Yeah. I'm very lazy and I'm still on my L's.
Okay, but we can all drive. How many of us have been overseas or flown interstate in the last 5 years?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Yep.
Nope. You haven't, Sangeeta? Okay.
Not in the last 5 years, no.
Okay. My grandparents, the first time they went on an aeroplane is when my parents brought them to Australia. Okay, so just looking at what we have and what they had, it's just really interesting to see how opulent our society is. What happens when I go to the airport? Plane is 10 minutes late. I'm bitching. 10 minutes late. I have to fly economy. Mm. I shouldn't be flying economy class. I'm never flying economy overseas again.
That's horrible.
But look at what I've got and how much I complain about it. And I want more. Is this endemic? What do you want?
So.
Virginia and Petra, what do you want in your lives to make you comfortable?
Something overall I think I want in my life is simplicity, which the advancements of technology is kind of making it hard. To get from A to B with no stress, no hassle, and no complication is what I want.
I got the internet when I was around year 11, which was around 2004. People had the net for 10 years before that. So I'm pretty late when it comes to those kind of things, but I can't imagine my life without my internet and computer now. It just dominates so much of my lifestyle.
It's rather ironic listening to you two talk, and you're not that much into technology, whereas Adam and I in the older generation, we're absolutely fascinated.
It's funny. Well, this has gone completely the wrong way. I started using the internet, I think, 1989, right, when it was just a line of Unix. I was the first person I know to get on the internet. I was the first person I know to get broadband in 1996. I was the first person I know to get a mobile phone. My house is full of technology, and so is yours, Peter.
Well, not exactly full.
How, Virginia and Petro... Oh, actually, I might ask Sangeeta and Peter this question. Mm-hmm. Sangeeta and Peter, how important is money in your life?
It's important because you can't do without it to that degree that I like to be able to pay my rent, buy the food, pay your bills, and I don't need enormous amounts.
Peter?
Well, of course, if you had no money, it would be extremely stressful because, as Sagita said, you've got to pay the bills. But for me, money is important up to a point. As long as I've got enough to tick over and do the things I want to do, I'm not too fussed about earning squillions of dollars.
God, I tell you what, you two are so mediocre when it comes to money. Oh, okay. I've got a completely different opinion. But let's hear from Petro and Virginia. What do you think about money? Is it going to be a driving force in your life?
It's hard to have a social life and not have money these days. I mean, just going to the cinemas, dinner and cinemas, $50 gone.
Dinner and cinemas is the most important part of the financial aspect. What about you, Virginia?
For me, money is important as a survival tool, and also because I like to be comfortable financially to look after people I care about and to look after me. And things like, whether it be dinner, cinemas, shopping, these nice pair of boots or whatever it is that I want to get, it's to be comfortable and to live comfortably and not have to worry about things that, you know, can be really daunting.
One of the biggest philosophical things I've had to deal with ethically in my life is to looking at the situation of the hath and the hath not. There are two classes of people in the world. There are those that hath and those that hath not. And most of the people with the hath spend most of their lives trying to get what little hath the hath not hath. Does that make sense? So you have people who have a lot of money and people have no money. And one of the awful truths in life is we have a choice. We can be in the hath or the hath not. It's nice to be able to look after the people around you, and most people in the hath tend to have that sense of being able to contribute for the people who hath not. There's not many of the hath who are really greedy and want everything. Most look after them. If you have to choose between being in the hath and the hath not, I choose the hath. And I did some time ago, thanks to my partner who was so driven. And that would be the one piece of advice I would give Petro and Virginia, put yourself in a situation so when you get to 50 or 60 or 70, you don't have to think, how am I going to survive? Put money away now. It doesn't have to be a lot. And invest in property. That's probably the safest investment, because property, while it goes up and down, you will never lose. The global financial crisis has shown that investing in stocks and shares and in superannuation is not such a brilliant option. So my advice would be to invest in property. I did. But you, Sangeeta and Peter, you didn't.
No, I let mine go when I sort of changed my lifestyle. And because I did have at one stage in my life, you know,
you had that, you were a hath, I know.
And now I'm not, and I do realise that life could be a bit precarious in the future because I haven't got much, but I still, you know, be content if I just had enough to have a reasonably comfortable life.
Yes. I'm not satisfied with being content. I want more. But that's the sort of person I am.
Mm.
Peter, Sangeeta, Virginia and Petro. Last thing I want to talk about now is the elements that we've brought into our lives. Sangeeta and Peter, you've been alive for some time. Are you happy with supposedly?
Mm.
Are you happy with the way your life turned out, Peter?
Generally speaking, yes, I'm contented, I'm happy. And let's face it, you know, you can have all the money in the world and be as miserable as hell. I mean, there's plenty of evidence of that around. So money in itself isn't necessarily going to bring you happiness. That's something that comes from within. I mean, I have things, obviously, that I look back on and would do differently. If I had the chance, I would buy property, as you're saying, but I didn't. So I just have to accept that that's the way it is.
What elements of your sexuality are important in your life still?
Elements of my sexuality.
Mm. What part is your sexuality still an issue for you, or is it just part of who you are?
Not as much as it used to be, I suppose. It's certainly part of who I am, of course.
Okay. Sangeeta, what about you? Have you turned out to be the sort of person that you wanted to be?
I'm not really quite sure if I knew who I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I said earlier I wasn't sort of, I couldn't say I was happy, but the life I've led has been interesting, I guess. I've done a lot.
Okay. What elements of your sexuality are important in your life now? Because coming out for homosexuals is a quite a daunting experience. But now that that's passed and you've been living as lesbian for quite a number of years, what's it like?
It's fine. It's just me. And there are times when I wish I could be more open about it, because there are situations where it's not quite such a good idea. But it's just part of myself.
You're happy with it.
I'm happy with it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, at work, I've never told anybody that I'm gay, but they all know, basically because, well, as it happens, somebody heard me on the radio, so then it got around. In no way was it said maliciously. It was just a point of interest.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? Petro, what sort of person do you want to be? What do you think you'll be like? Tell us who Petro's going to be in 50 years. We've already asked you, where would you like to be? What sort of person do you think you'll be?
I want to be the kind of person that just, you know, is easy to get along with, someone that people can confide in, and, you know, and hopefully someone that can help when I'm at 50, can help younger people. That's something that's very important
to
me.
What qualities do you think you'll need in life to get you there?
Qualities. I think
experience,
and just to work hard at, you know, what I want to achieve,
and being content within yourself.
Yeah, I think
to
that's
help
the main
anybody
thing.
With anything like this, you have to be content and completely at peace and honest within yourself to know who you are. Virginia, what sort of person do you think, or would you like to be?
I'd like to think by that when I reach. Was it 50 that you said?
50, 60. Yeah.
50, 60. Accomplished, well-travelled, able to, pretty much what Petra said, able to advise people who've gone through similar situations as I did when they were young. And to sort of, I think it just takes one person in a certain niche or a certain minority to go, you know what, this is how it is. One brave person to stand up, and hopefully by then I'll have enough, content or enough knowledge to be able to help them the best way I can.
Okay. As a wind-up, from Petro and Virginia. Could you both give just a short message to the community of young people about what life is like for them, for you, and give a positive statement?
I think that it's just important to be who you are. I think today, when someone says they're gay, there's a lot of stigma that, you know, a gay person is a certain way.
Still?
Yeah, there is. And I think that's all kind of come up with the whole Bruno thing, you know?
Okay.
Just be who you are, be yourself. And also, I think the scary thing, that's still a bit scary, when the whole Home and Away episode happened earlier this year, when there was a lesbian storyline, before that, I'd been surrounded by such a positive environment that it was great to be gay, being a joy and that kind of thing. When I read these these letters in the newspaper, so much homophobia, it's still out there. And I think it's very important to keep your eyes open and just to be careful. Yes, it's great to be gay and it's good to be vocal and out there, but you've got to look after yourself because, you know, there are people out there who are still very anti-gay and you just got to look after yourself.
Where the experience of our generation will help you.
Yeah.
Is how to understand and how to deal with that. Virginia, what about you? A message to the community?
Just going on what Petro said about stereotyping, I get called up a lot of times for dressing too feminine. It's like, you're too feminine to be a lesbian or something like that. And look, when I first heard those comments, I found them very confronting because I don't think how I dress or how anyone should dress should dictate who they're attracted to. So one message is just to be yourself and not to feel that you have to confide to a stereotype to be who you are, because everyone is their own unique individual.
They are indeed. Sangeeta, thank you so much for joining us on Allegro Non Troppo.
Oh, thank you.
Your story is remarkable. Perhaps one day we might just do a show with you because I know your story. Peter, okay. Thank you.
That's
for
a pleasure.
Contributing.
I just want to give one quick word of comfort to Petro, who was saying earlier that the cinema is expensive. Don't worry, when you reach 60, you'll get your senior's card and it'll be a lot cheaper.
I look forward to that.
Virginia, Petro, Sangeeta, thank you for joining us on Allegro Non Troppo. We'll be back next week, everyone. Bye.